This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
And horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
Top stories of the day. I don't know if you saw the rumor mill, the rumor side of things over the weekend, Angel, but Lakers fans throwing out maybe Jason Kidd could be the next head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, even though he's currently the coach of the Mavericks. Well, maybe the Mavericks heard that, and they just signed Kidd to a multi-year contract extension. It was a day after, so it was more than just Lakers fans. It was ESPN's Dave McNenemann reported that Jason Kidd's name had been mentioned as a potential candidate for the Lakers head coaching job. After, of course, the Lakers fired Darvin Ham, but the Mavericks said, no, we're going to lock this dude up. Good move for the Mavericks. Second stint for Jason Kidd has been actually really good as a head coach.
Yeah, I would have believed that more if they had lost the series against the Clippers, but I still feel like the Lakers are going to try to go get J.J. Redick or Ty Lue.
I watched a really interesting interview, and I think this was months ago or maybe it was a year ago, but J.J. Redick was sitting down with LeBron James. They were just talking basketball. And it was, like, really fascinating. But it sounded like they had a difference of opinion. Because Redick's talking about, you know, the three. Spreading the floor. Get your guys off to the corners as quickly as possible. And then that opens up the middle lane there. And LeBron, you know, he kind of rolled his eyes at some of the things that Redick was pointing out. But then he did come to the middle. And he was like, yeah, I can see this game's changed so much the last couple of years. Last 5-6 years even, but that would be, take the LeBron annoying factor out, I actually would be really fascinated to see J.J. Redick and LeBron James work together. Because they're both great basketball minds.
Yeah, and I think Redick is definitely climbing the ranks in terms of his perception about his basketball IQ, and if the Lakers hired him, I feel like that'd be a move to, okay, whether or not LeBron's on this team, this is going to be our guy.
Yeah, no, Redick, he's fun to listen to. That's the only bummer about that, Angel. And I said the same thing about Steve Kerr. I don't want to take him away from the microphone.
True.
Because Kerr was really good. I think he was on TNT forever. He was really good there. Redick is obviously one of the more level-headed guys that you see on ESPN. Because there's not many of them anymore. He's one of them.
What'd you think of Dirk on TNT?
Well, first off, where was Shaq?
I have no idea. Doing shit, Shaquille O'Neal.
I guess. Dirk wasn't bad, was he? I mean, it's not. He's
a little awkward.
Yeah, he's not Shaq, though.
Right.
It just doesn't. Dirk was fine. He's better than the ESPN guys.
Oh, yeah.
He's better than Perk. Better than Stephen A. You know, because he's not screaming and yelling, and we're not going to turn this into an argument show. He was fine, but he's no Shaq. Those four guys, that combo, nothing beats it. This is why the idea of NBC perhaps buying out all the NBA rights that are going with TNT, it really scares me.
Yeah.
Because you would lose the best basketball talkers, the best pregame show, the best halftime assessment guys, the best post guys.
Yeah, and even getting just Chuck wouldn't be enough.
No.
It's him and Shaq. They're the combo deal. And then Ernie and Kenny, they flow off each other so well.
It doesn't. Ernie is obviously an amazing broadcaster, so he could go, or talker. He could go to a different show and be really good. He's done that. But those three by themselves, I mean, they need to have Ernie, and Ernie needs to have them to make it a great show. So I hope that doesn't happen, man, because that's the one saving grace that the NBA has right now as far as talkers.
Yeah, as long as you don't pair Ernie up with some guy named Bert. probably be fine.
Which would be actually pretty cool. What's with everybody retiring and then maybe not retiring?
I have no idea.
J.J. Watt.
Yep.
Now he's saying, hey, if the Texans absolutely need me, I will make a return. He said, but this is the final year of the maybe I'm not retired. What? So he's never going to open the window again after this year. Stay in the league, man. If you have doubt, just stay in the league.
I think these guys they live and breathe football, and talk about guys like Tom Brady or TJ or JJ Watt and Aaron Donald, who was also kind of mentioned. It's kind of like I don't really know what else I want to be doing right now. Like, I could be on the beach, I could be at the pool, go visit wherever with my family, but I kind of just want to be in football.
So many of these guys, that's just their life, And JJ Watt,
work out. I want to go do team stuff. I want to be in the facility every day.
Yeah, that's their life. We just talked to, a really fun. We had a fun interview with Quinn Danker, who's now going to be a UNC basketball player. He said he's a creature of habit. Most of these guys are. To be a Division I athlete or a professional athlete, this is what you do. This is all you know. I mean, not to say that defines you, but that's your life. You're used to having your whole year planned out in terms of football.
Yeah, and if the TV media stuff isn't the route you go, what else do you do? Kind of lean on your whatever college degree you ended up getting in sports management or whichever?
Yeah. What do you make of this one? Marvin Harrison Jr., he has not signed the NFLPA's group licensing agreement. So you can't go buy his jersey?
You cannot.
That's crazy. However, this came out over the weekend that Marvin Harrison Jr. has a Fanatics deal despite no NFLPA agreement. So he has his own deal, but he can't use then the NFL stuff, right? He could do a jersey, but it would just be probably a red jersey or something with his name on the back of it. Wouldn't be able to have Cardinals stuff on there.
It's very strange. I've seen a lot of responses to this being, his dad is just telling him the ins and outs of the finances of the NFL, which may be true, but why do all the other players have already signed it and they're ready to go?
Is this part of the NIL stuff, training them when they're in college to make sure, hey, you go get yours. Everything is you. Don't sign up and be just a part of the system. You could go make more money elsewhere.
Yeah, that could be a part of it. I did see a clip over the weekend of some Chiefs practices. Xavier Worthy looked a little awkward running through drills, and then he dropped a pass, so everyone's freaking out like, oh, they busted this pick. What are they doing? It's the first day of practice. It's okay.
That's what we do. We're starving for football already. And here's, speaking of NIL, the latest from Pro Football Focus has college football's top NIL earners. Shedeur Sanders coming in at $4.6 million. That's what he is number one, according to Pro Football Focus. Second is Travis Hunter. Travis is at $2.7 million. A lot of the top guys are right around $2 million or right under $2 million. But Shedeur Sanders is at $4.6 million, Angel. I mean, that is just wild that some of these guys are at that level. Arch Manning is at $2.4 million from Texas. Quinn Evans from Texas is at $1.9 million. Jalen Milrow, the Alabama player, at $1.6 million. Carson Beck out of Georgia, $1.6 million. It's insanity, man. It's crazy. They're out there earning, though.
I get all of that except the Arch Manning. Kid hasn't played
Hasn't played down.
To start over Quinn Ewers, who has been the starter for three seasons.
Yeah. No, it's wild when you just actually lay it out like that. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Going off of, I watched about 40 minutes, 30 minutes or so of the Tom Brady roast. And you got some of the best Some of the best of the more clean.
Jokes.
Yeah, clean for sure. Go ahead, Angel. Let's hear some of that from the roast on Netflix of Tom Brady last night.
The way that you're showing everyone that even after winning 7 Super Bowls, you can still have a midlife crisis.
Tom, I really wanted you to be our first goat to be roasted because you're an example to future generations that if you work hard, eat right, film the other team's practices, deflate the balls and have the NFL make new rules just for you, then you too can be the third most famous guy in a Dunkin' Donuts commercial.
You have 7 rings. Well, 8 now that Giselle gave hers back, but...
That's good. Who's the guy? Who's the first guy? Ross?
Yes.
What is his name?
Jeff Ross.
Jeff Ross. He does every roast, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's his job. He is just a roaster.
Yeah, and he came out wearing an O.J. Simpson jersey.
It was all covered in fake blood and stuff. Yeah, that was interesting. So everyone made a big deal about the Will Smith moment where Tom Brady leaned up, got out of his chair. Ross made a joke about massages and craft and all that stuff. And Brady got out of his chair and whispered loud enough for us to hear it, "Don't do that blank again." That was part of the script, folks. Like, that was not... I know everybody thinks I'm crazy for saying the Will Smith thing was fake, and maybe I'm wrong on that one. This one was absolutely part of the script.
Yeah, these jokes aren't improv. They're reading teleprompters.
They are approving everything with Tom. Don't you think that they get everything approved by Tom Brady?
Yeah, the divorce, you can joke about that. You can joke about Deflategate and cheating, and, you know, I don't think the other hosts are privy to knowing what those jokes are, but at least Tom, you know, he needs to know what he's going to say in his rebuttal at the end of it.
You have any interest in going and watching this?
I might go check it out. There were some jokes that caught my attention, and it's more often it's the jokes about other people that are there.
Oh, they went after Gronk, man.
Gronk, Kevin Hart got a couple of good ones in there. Belichick and Kraft taking a shot. Like, yeah, I might check it out.
There, Manning made an appearance.
Yep.
And Tom Brady said something about Manning is always going to be in a shadow or
something about Colts or Broncos that don't blink.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was good. Roasts are always... Do you watch a lot of these roasts?
I don't.
You get into them?
I think I watched the Justin Bieber one a few years ago.
I've seen clips of that.
I've never sat and watched a full one.
No, they're... A lot of them are cringeworthy. And, you know, sometimes they go a little too far and then it's just uncomfortable the rest of the way. But from what I saw, it was good. Was it Kevin Hart was the host of this thing?
Mm-hmm.
He opened up with like, "Hey, we're doing the goat roast. Where's Joe Montana?" You know, that was pretty good. The end was good, though, with Tom Brady, where he said they spent millions, $20 million to basically determine that I may or may not have deflated a football. I don't have the direct quote. Brady said they should have just gave me $20 million, and I would have said, yeah, I did it. Do you think he did it? Do you think he was all 100% in charge of that?
Yeah, he blamed it on the equipment guy. But yeah, he definitely, lower that PSI by like 0.5.
Yeah.
Because it's cold out here.
Yeah. Yeah, he probably did it.
I need it to beat Andrew Luck and the Colts.
Yeah, and you know, the balls were fine the very next week, and they won a Super Bowl that year.
They suspended him 4 games for it.
Yeah. Now the next season, that was right around the time, I've always talked about this on the show, that was right around the time the Ray Rice stuff was happening.
Yep.
Because it was the beginning of the next season, and they determined that Brady was going to miss 4 games, and Ray Rice is shown on a video camera, or on a video security camera, dragging his fiance unconscious out of the elevator, and the NFL basically said, yeah, he probably caused that, so we'll give him 2 games. And then they saw the second portion of the video, which actually shows him knocking her out, and then they said, okay, no, you're out for the season and probably more.
Yeah.
And I always thought that was weird because it's like, at first, you essentially said what Tom Brady did was worse than what Ray Rice did. But, oh, wait, no, we got the facts. We actually know he hit her now. Well, why'd you suspend him in the first place? Dragging her out of the elevator isn't necessarily a crime. If she was unconscious, if she just passed out and he's removing her from the elevator... But they had to go, oh, he caused that. That was a crazy time. But, yeah, I don't know. If you're into that kind of thing, the roasts were were fine. Randy Moss was good. He got up there. The joke about even Tom Brady's white receivers, even Tom Brady's black receivers are white, basically, because Randy Moss is like, you know, he's like a fisherman, a hunter, all that stuff that a typical white dude would go do, I guess. But
joke that, why didn't you guys cheat when I was there?
Yeah, he's like, why didn't that stuff happen when I was there? He's like, come on, man, I feel gypped on this thing. But he was pretty good from what I saw. That was kind of, then they brought Anchorman out. I mean, are we still doing the Anchorman? I love Anchorman. I love the original, but
yeah, I don't know. Kind if of Ron Burgundy. I mean, they're teenagers now. Like, who's Ron Burgundy?
Yeah, they don't. It's not. It just doesn't hit anymore. And then they made the sequel to it, and it wasn't that great. 20 minutes after the hour, let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll bust into more Nuggets, T-Wolves. What does Denver have to do tonight to get this thing right? Got to get it back on the right track. It's a late one. It's must win. It's going to be nervous time all day today. But get this win, I think we're going to feel a lot better about the situation. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Hear from the legendary Coach Bruce Dick and the biggest names in preps on Coach Speak. Weekdays at 10 on KFKA.
What's up, Hooligans? This is Zach Stevens with DNVR Broncos, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
It's going to be a part of it. I've accepted that, and you know, there's counters for everything, so I just got to keep adjusting. We got to keep adjusting, and, you know, find ways to get it done. It's I don't know, man. The calf is whatever it is.
There's Jamal Murray talking about the calf being whatever it is. You can call it out if you want, and you could say that's hurting, but everybody's hurting, man. There's a lot of guys that are dealing with this. He's clearly good enough to be out on the floor running around, so you got to have production from him, man.
Yeah.
0 points in the first half, was that
zero
right?
First scoreless playoff game in the first half for Jamal Murray. I strained my calf when I was a sophomore in high school running track. I couldn't walk for a couple of weeks.
Oh, wow.
Probably 2-3 weeks, because it was probably more severe than what Jamal is. But I just, like, if you look at his calf, he's got a bunch of athletic tape around it, and I imagine that's kind of holding those calf muscles together. So you're not going to see, you know, he can't really push off of that. You know, his elevation's just not there right now.
Yeah. Well, he still played 34 minutes.
And even, you know, you get into a game, it kind of fades a bit because your adrenaline's going, your muscles are moving, the blood's flowing a lot more. So I think just kind of that first half was kind of just, I haven't been practicing all week. This is my first time really out on the floor feeling how this is going to go.
Yeah, well, I mean, what can you say? It's going to be a problem for him. It's not going to go away in these playoffs. If they win against Minnesota, it will be there against whoever, whether that's OKC or Dallas. It's not going to go away. He's probably going to be in that 17, 22 points range on most of these nights now. Although, as I just say that, take the over.
It worked last time.
There's a shift in the atmosphere just now, and I'm calling it. Whatever that over is for Jamal is probably 23 or 24. Hammer it.
Yeah, I don't remember what game it was with the Lakers, but we were saying, oh, Jamal, he's inconsistent.
Yep.
Are we going to
yep.
sign him? Yeah, he's not. Yeah, take the over.
Yeah, I said,
he
watch.
He goes off like 33 points.
Yeah, watch out, because the second there is doubt around Jamal Murray, he goes off. So tonight will be a Jamal Murray night. I mean, you need it. Angel, the other interesting thing in this series is it? We know how good Anthony Edwards is, but it's his defensive ability. He is really good defensively, and that's why if you can make him work harder on that end, then maybe you slow him down offensively.
Yeah, and that's what teams have done to counter Jamal Murray in the past, is tire him out on defense so that when he gets on the offensive side, he doesn't have the energy for it. And yeah, maybe you can try to do that. I think, you know, Minnesota has a great defense. They have a lot of length with their front court, that they are able to, you know, get into those passing lanes and make you have to shift. But using the screens, that's what this Nuggets team is really good at on offense, getting those screens, getting people moving. Like you said, when Jokic has the ball, and he's just holding it, everybody's got to move. You can't just stand there and watch Jokic going to do anything because, okay, he might be on Gobert. He can take that matchup, but they're going to send a double team.
Yeah, they got to be quick with that. And that's one of the things the Nuggets have been just so good at over the last couple of seasons when they're fully healthy is Joker is so quick with that pass. But you can't be if guys aren't moving. And it does make it more difficult for, like, Aaron Gordon to do his thing and try to run out behind, you know, underneath that rim because Rudy Gobert does affect a lot of that, of what he's trying to find with Gordon. That, and I agree with the texter earlier, they can't keep shooting threes all night, but that's how you neutralize it, man. If you can't find Gordon, the alley-oop thing's not working, he's not able to just dig out stuff and find a way to get inside, get right up next to that rim, then it's got to be the outside shooting.
Yeah, you have to work this defense from the inside out. If you can get in the paint, penetrate what they're trying to do there, get Aaron and Jokic going, maybe get Murray into the paint, get MPJ driving to the basket a little bit more, then those three-point shots are going to start being open. And we said a lot in the Lakers series, they were getting good looks from three, just some nights the shots just weren't falling. You know MPJ is going to hit his shots. We feel
he's the only consistent
so confident
shooter
about him right now.
Yeah.
Hopefully Murray can get back, you know, as the games goes on, as his body starts to respond to the calf a little bit more, he can just feel more comfortable and it's not so much of a mental thing. But yeah, this offense has to get a little bit better, and I know Malone's going to preach it, but the defense has to be way better.
Defense, I mean, again, you gave up, what, 66 points in the second half, and after a phenomenal second quarter, you only gave up 17 points and you only scored 19, but you outworked them in that second quarter. You have to have something close to that. Hell, even the first wasn't bad. It was just they got off to the, what was it, 18-4 start. Well, after that, they only scored 5 points.
They went on like
20-something
run.
Yeah. Minnesota only scored 23 points in that first. So it's there. The ability's there. You got to lock in. Like, Anthony Edwards, I'll say it, man. He sure does look the part. He does look like the second coming of Michael Jordan.
Does he look like Michael? But he is not Michael Jordan, but he looks like it.
Yeah.
At least in his play style and his attitude.
Nobody has ever looked. Kobe, I thought, had a lot where he did look like MJ, but he was smaller.
Right.
You know, and so that's. Edwards on defense and offense looks like Michael Jordan. Now we'll see. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are great basketball players. Can they do it for 10 years? You know, that's going to be the thing on Edwards. But right now, today, as we sit here, he certainly looks like the closest thing we've seen to Jordan. I would say outside of Kobe. Kobe had a lot, offensively, had a lot of the same kind of things that Jordan did. That was his guy. You know, it's who he looked up to. Mm-hmm. But you can still, I mean, slow. He shot the ball 29 times. You know who was second? It was Towns, who shot 13 times. So that is their offense. That is what they're going to do. I mean, in the first, it was all Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, I mean, Towns is going to, you know, if he's not getting in foul trouble, he may be able to get up in the 15s, but Gobert's not going off for 20. Conley, you do have to worry about just because he always has success against the Nuggets. But it's Edwards. He's the main guy. He's going to get his points, but if you can mitigate everybody else and force Edwards to be the guy, all right, let's see it.
Yeah, and this is why you have to really get going with Joker. I mean, he has to work the paint. He has to get guys in foul trouble because then they're going to play it so differently, both on offense and defense.
Yeah,
not going to be as aggressive.
Talk about the 3 7-footers that they roll out there. You can get one of them in foul trouble early, and Cat's probably the more likely option there. You talked about getting a foul right off the tip. I didn't even see it, but I was whoa.
Yeah, it was fast.
Okay, I guess I'll take that. Yeah, I mean, that's what you have to do. The Nuggets were 16 of 20 from the line. The Wolves were 9 of 12. Not a huge discrepancy, but you got to take advantage of it.
Well, and that is, you know, like a guy like Rudy Gobert doesn't draw a lot of fouls, Angel, because he doesn't play like that style.
He's not a real post-up type of player.
He's like Marcus Camby, you know? That's who he reminds me of. Towns, a little more like that, but still, he's going to be okay taking you know, little 4 foot shots or whatever too. So they're not going to get too aggressive in the paint. They do a lot of their work from outside of that.
Yeah, looking at the fouls for the Nuggets, Aaron Gordon had 4, Jokic and Murray both had 4, KCP with 2, MPJ with 1, and then Payton with 2 and Reggie Jackson with 1. So, you know, pretty fair foul calls, I'd say, there. But you can use that to your advantage against this Minnesota team.
First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Flying Dutchman weighing in on the Brady roast. Deflategate is one of the dumber scandals in sports history. In the game, the Colts had 4 turnovers and couldn't stop LeGarrette Blount and their running attack. He ran for over 150 yards, 4 touchdowns. Patriots had 0 turnovers. Man, you thought about this. Even if the ball was deflated, it didn't have any impact on Brady's performance. His stats were pedestrian in the game. The whole thing is a nothing burger derived from Brady hate.
Did you go back 10 years to find that message?
That was way back when, man. No, I don't think. Do you think it was that big a deal? I've always thought.
I think at the time I thought it was a bigger deal than it probably was. But now it's like Tom Brady has become more humanized, I'd say. He's not the Terminator out there anymore. He's like, it's Tom Brady. He's kind of a goofy guy. Or he's kind of just, you know, used to be a family man. So he's kind of just doing whatever.
We literally on the air took a football, fully aired up to where it was supposed to be. It was an NFL football. And we deflated how much air that they said he deflated. And it, again, from us just sitting here as regular people, you couldn't tell any difference.
They use like, 50-something footballs in an NFL game, and you know, all the kickers have their own ball, and the punters have their own. The quarterbacks have to get a feel for it whichever way. And if you've thrown a deflated football, it's almost harder to throw it.
Again,
when you can squeeze it that much, it's like, I don't have a great grip on this.
The amount of air that they took out, he allegedly took out or ordered to be taken out, it just didn't do anything.
No, in any kind of sport that uses an inflatable type of ball, like, they're all going to be different. That's why the NBA, they have 4 different balls that they test out before the game. And the LeBron and Murray clip where, like, let's use this one, and those two put them over there.
Yeah.
They're all different. It's just how you feel about it.
Yeah, I agree with you, Texter, Flying Dutchman. When it came out, it was ridiculous that they spent so much money on this investigation, too. And they hired like this special investigator, and they never even found out the truth. They never even got, it was never 100% proven that it was Tom Brady that did it.
Well, what about the cheating one? Because I wasn't.
Spygate?
Yeah, Spygate.
Yeah, that one's worse.
Yeah.
You know, what was he doing? Sending guys to practices and they'd film it?
Yeah, doing a little Connor Stallion type stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that one was worse. That one actually.
Back in the day where it was probably, you know, pretty big cam, or, you know, camcorder that you're using with a little flip out screen on the side, trying to hide that.
Yeah, Smitty texting in. Deflategate was more about other franchises were frustrated because of Spygate. Mangini with the Jets was the main instigator. Yeah, maybe they went hard at it because of Spygate. They were punishing Tom Brady,
you know,
for Spygate.
That was kind of not peak Patriots, but they were kind of reaching the summit of, oh, I can't stand this team. I can't stand Tom Brady. They're always winning. We need something to get against them.
Aaron texting in, had Tom Brady not destroyed his cell phone in the wake of all the Deflategate, I don't think it would have been as big of an issue as it is today. I forgot that he did that, but I now that you mention it, I remember that. And we joked, like, well, maybe he was getting a new phone, man, and he's not going to turn that in. He has to destroy his phone. That's a normal thing. You know, you don't want to give somebody your old phone. So Tom Brady's innocent. Leave him alone, man. But yeah, the roast last night, did you guys watch it? Let me know. Big Hub, good old Connor Stallions. I think we should do a Brady hole roast. I don't know if I could take that. You got to be...
You'd be like Michael Scott when he got roasted.
Oh, yeah, I'd be crying at the end. You got to be a certain type of person to be okay with that.
Yeah, like you're going to get your rebuttal, but it's sitting there for the hour first.
Well, how long was that? I think it was a couple hours.
A couple hours, yeah.
Yeah. And you got to just sit there and take it, man.
No, I mean, the first couple, like, oh, divorce joke, that's funny. Oh, deflate gay, okay. Oh, okay. Now you've said the same joke in four different ways. This is starting to get under my skin a little bit.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they're all drinking, so. I don't know if Tom was drinking probably some
tequila. He had something. Yeah, they were going at it. Did you guys happen to notice the menu prices at the Formula One event in Miami? Unbelievable. No. I didn't notice that. I didn't even notice
that was an event going on. But
I didn't even. No, you're talking to the wrong guy on that one, Angel. I mean, did I even?
Is it worth talking about?
Did I even know that it was happening this weekend? No, I did not. I did know that there was the horse races.
The Derby.
The Derby. What happened there? Did you catch any of that?
I saw the end. It was kind of a photo finish,
yeah,
as they say.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw
Mystic
a picture.
Dan was the winner. It's like a minute and a half race. You don't need to spend the whole day watching it. I saw it all on Twitter, and it's like, oh, that's all I need to know.
I mean...
NASCAR had a similar type of Lightning McQueen-ish type of finish, where it was like probably an inch of the bumper that got in front of the finish line. So, yeah, photo finishes. Those
are
fun.
Yeah, that was great. Weld County Swami, $238 for a hot dog. Ow, wow, that sucks. Don't go to car races.
It's F1. This is the one that, like,
$238
it's the company
bucks
that almost
hot dog.
Bankrupt Vegas just to do a race on the strip.
That's a lot for a hot dog. That better be a good freaking hot dog. Like, that can't be one of the Rockies dogs, dude.
Maine lobster roll for $2.80.
Wait, so a lobster roll was just a few dollars more than a hot dog?
Yes.
Wow. That doesn't even make sense. No, that's not even right. That's okay, I'll give you that. That's news. That's newsworthy.
You can get 1 ounce of caviar for $400.
What? $180 for nachos? You guys are enlightening me right now. I had no idea. This is ridiculous.
You get steamed buns for $120.
The hell's that?
I have no idea.
Steamed buns?
Yeah.
For how much?
$120.
How much is a beer? Like, you got to turn over your child? I mean, my goodness.
Fruit refresher drink for $190.
A beer had to be like $1,000, Angel. Wow. Aaron says they must have been those Colby beef hot dogs. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be the free ones you get at the Rockies because they're like, well, we're either going to throw these out or poison the fans.
I mean, these are from last year's season. So.
Yeah, we still had a bunch left over here. So just found them. I mean, did I eat them? Of course. They're hot dogs at a baseball game.
Are you a Dippin' Dots fan?
No.
No?
Not really. I'm not a big sweets guy. I don't like that kind of stuff. I'm just like, no, let me do the healthy thing and just cover this hot dog in as much garbage as I possibly can.
Yeah, I usually get hot dogs at sporting events. I can't sit there and eat a burger at a basketball game.
I can't do a burger, but I can do nachos. But yeah. If I'm choosing, I'm definitely doing a hot dog. Ask Robert Kraft about steamed buns.
Oh.
Okay, no more roasting of Tom Brady, okay? He said don't do that again. You know, he was very mad. He almost Will Smithed that Ross guy in this thing. That's ridiculous, though. It's a lot of money for game stuff, for food. 43 minutes after the hour, Angel, we're going to take a quick break. We'll get more Nuggets, Timberwolves. We got the Avs matchup set with the Stars. So all that and more coming up, buy or sell at the top of the next hour, too. But first, let's get out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Darren Dunn, Director of Athletics at the University of Northern Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Well, we have a little bit of a development, Angel. Rudy Gobert might miss the game tonight. He is questionable for game two after his first child is being born. He's listed as questionable. First, we just heard it was personal reasons, but he is becoming a father for the first time. So, you know what, Rudy? go enjoy being a dad, man. You know, nothing will ever replace that moment. The first time.
It's just basketball.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's just basketball.
LeBron gets it. Just go. You cannot miss that. You need to go be a dad first. That's the most important thing. Years from now, you're not going to even remember losing in five to the Nuggets. So go be a dad. Do the right thing.
I mean, what if the kid asked dad, what happened to that 2024 playoff run?
You happened. And, you know, and then the kid goes, dad, thanks, man. You chose me over basketball. I'm your guy for life. I'm never going to be a jerk teenager or any of that stuff. I'm going to be the perfect child for you. And, yeah, so Rudy, please, man, as much as we want you to play, go ahead and, you know, go do the right thing.
Yeah, go do dad stuff.
Yeah, go do dad stuff. It's just, as LeBron said it, it's just basketball.
I mean, Jokic will tell you. He'd probably rather be a dad than go play basketball.
But. Yeah, but we need him. He, you know, it's fine. He does enough dad time. You think he's going to miss it? You actually think he would miss this game?
I mean, I don't know what their relationship's like, but I could see his partner saying, no, go play. I'll be here.
Yeah.
But I could also see him saying, no, I want to be there.
Baby boy delivered this morning. So you only get one first kid, man.
Yeah. I mean, you know, is it back in Minnesota? Does he have to fly back home and then just not be there and then just say, hey, stay there. We'll be back on Thursday for game three.
Yeah, where is he? Because the report says it's uncertain whether Gobert will be able to travel to Denver in time for the tip-off against the defending champ.
I assume it's maybe in Minnesota.
Can we put, you know, can we distract the pilot of the plane too,
there are,
maybe?
You know, tornadoes going on around.
Oh, yeah, mate. Don't even go. Don't chance it, man.
No.
Take care of it. Be healthy, happy, stay. I'm not rooting for anybody to get hurt, but being a dad, absolutely, I'm rooting for you to stay and do the right thing.
Man, it's you don't want to get on an airplane and then play basketball afterward?
And with tornadoes all over?
No.
There's tornadoes everywhere, man. Just don't even get on an airplane. Stay away. Do what you got to do. The right thing, and that is be a family man. So that is an interesting development. So it might not be like he, for personal reasons, he's probably going to choose to play, but now they're worried that he might not make it in time. So, and it's a late game, though, so he will have plenty of time for that. But you do wonder if, like, does that impact your performance positively or negatively? First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Let's wrap up hour number one. When we come back, we'll get into it more. What do the Nuggets need to do tonight to be able to stop Minnesota, tie this series back up, buy or sell coming up at the beginning of the final hour of the show? All that and more coming up next.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Well, it's must-win time for the Nuggets. Down 1-0 in this series. They lost home court advantage now, just like that. And it's now the line has moved, Angel. It's now 6.5. 5.5 before we started, so now it's 6.5. I'm standing by it, man. I think the Nuggets are a better team than the Timberwolves. Maybe I undershot how good Anthony Edwards is. I mean, he's everything that they've been talking about throughout the course of the season. The times I've seen him play, he's good, but that was something else. He's been raising his level in these playoffs.
Yeah, and we talked about it. When was the last time the Nuggets lost a game one in a series? Starting back in that 2018 or 2019 run, they lost game one against the Spurs, went on to win three of the next four, and then won that series in seven. The year after that in the bubble, they were up 1-0 on the Jazz, fell 1-0 to the Clippers and the Lakers in those series. And then in 2021, they lost game one to the Trailblazers, picked up the next two, lost game five, and then got 6-7. and then swept by the Suns. And then 2 years ago, they lost to the Warriors. They lost the first three games there.
We haven't seen it since the Nuggets became championship-type team. You know, last year, I think a lot of people thought they maybe could win the championship.
Right, and we talked about it before, how this team, they've earned it up to this point. Now, you're kind of resetting it. Now you have to go earn it again.
Yeah, no, you do. You're underdogs even though you're favorites tonight. You still are. I mean, I can't tell you how many people were going off on Saturday saying that, oh, the Timberwolves might just sweep this thing. Nuggets are going to be lucky to get one. You change all that with a win tonight. Now, again, you look at Anthony Edwards and what he was able to do in the Phoenix series. 33 in game one and 9 rebounds, 6 assists, 15 in game two. So he is human. But then he became immortal again. 36 points, 9 rebounds, 5 assists for him in game three. And in the sweep, he had 40 points, 9 boards, and 6 assists. So, yeah, he is turning it up in these playoffs. But if you just go back to his regular season, Angel, let's look at the last 10 games of the season for him. It was 13 points, 14 points, 25, 51, 26, 17, 28, 21. So he is still a guy that's not, we're not giving him the falls asleep and scores 30. He's not there yet. I think he will be. Playoffs tend to take guys like Anthony Edwards and turn them into legends. I just hope that that's not what we're witnessing right now. I could use another relatively easy championship by the Nuggets. I know it's not going to be easy. All right, buy or sell coming up next. We'll put our the finishing touches on this Nuggets-T-Wolves game two tonight. Also, what did we learn? All that coming up in the final hour of the show. It's the whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.